Today it's about helping teenagers with anxiety and unhealthy perfectionism. Our guest is clinical psychologist Polly Chevron. She says adolescence is a time of exponential growth and development, and the job of the teen is to establish their identity, develop socially, and learn emotional regulation. She says parents play a big role, and the first thing they need to do is check their own perfectionism. In other words, are you getting joy out of your children's achievements, or are you deriving your own self-esteem from seeing your children achieve? Kia ora, Polly. So much to discuss. Welcome.
Kia ora, Catherine.
This job of the adolescent, one of the most challenging things about it is that you're becoming who you are and you're establishing who you are and you're trying different things on, but you're not sure if that's good enough or that's okay or that's the right thing. By the time you're our age, it's like, stuff you lot, this is what I am. But at this age, you're so vulnerable to the self-doubt, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Is it also an exciting time? It's all of these things all at once.
It is. It's all of those things, as you say, at once. This child's got an amazing job to do to transition from being entirely dependent on their parents for their shelter, for their food, for everything in their daily life. And they've got to individuate. They've got to become an adult who can live independently without their parents. And that is a huge job that they've got to do. And to do that, they've got to develop an identity of their own. And they've got to develop the ability to engage with other people socially. And they've got to learn how to cope with different emotions. And yes, it's an amazingly huge time of transformation. And it's really challenging for parents to manage that, as well as for young people.
It's the time also where there'll be pushback from your kids because they've got to become adults. They start to stand their own world. And by the way, you know nothing about anything. And that's fine. That's another whole conversation. The conversation you want to have, I guess, is about the vulnerabilities of it and how to help them with the vulnerabilities of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How can parents, what are some of the fundamentals to help children as they try on, or to help these young people as they start to try on these ways of being?
Yeah. I think one of the most important things, and this is true right from when they're tiny, is providing that safe home. So unconditional love. So you're there for them while they try these different identities on, while they try and experiment with different things in their life, that you stay there as a constant and that they know that you love them regardless while they go through this journey. So that's absolutely the most important thing. At the same time, while we're giving them space to do this development and try on new ways of being and identities, we've got to also provide some boundaries. So while they're doing this exploring, those boundaries actually help them feel safe. So it's this real balancing act between giving them space to grow, but also helping them and containing them while they do that process.
And also, what they say isn't necessarily what they want. So they're giving it to you, but actually they're craving that sense of boundary.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So whilst they might push back, actually, knowing there's that sense of safety and knowing that you've got their back is reassuring to them.
But not too much. You've got to give them some room, right?
Absolutely, because otherwise they can't do that job of developing their own identity that is separate to yours.
So those opportunities rest where?
The opportunities for growth,
yeah,
are all around them. So they're going to be exploring different things. They're going to be attending school. They're going to be engaged in sports. They're going to be engaged in different social realms. And we need to let them have space to do all of that, to be in all of those different spaces with their peers as well as us as a
increasingly
family
independently.
Yes.
They're going out for the first time.
Yes.
What time, how you get home, all those stuff. That's the boundary stuff, but they're starting to go.
Yeah.
Opinions are going to be expressed, and right through childhood, you're wanting young people to be expressing opinions, right?
Yes.
But they get more sophisticated, they come up more, they're more adult, I guess, in a way. Talk to me a little bit more about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So as they become more mature and their brains are developing and they're getting engaged in more complex social situations, they're being exposed to new situations, new ideas. And absolutely, part of that identity is them trying out different ways of thinking about things. And they will probably test them out with you, and that might be quite challenging, right? So they might say their latest thoughts on what they wish to eat and not eat, their views on political events. And what we need to do as parents is be able to listen to that. So engage with them. Be curious about that thing they're exploring in that moment, rather than shutting them down.
Another big challenge is whether it's hormones or whether it's just the uncertainties of this time that we're talking about, emotional management and regulation becomes a big issue again. I mean, this first gets addressed right back in toddlerhood, right, and coming out of toddlerhood, but it's another thing again now. How are you handling, I guess, that volatility? It can be evidence of something you want to address, but part of it is also just normal, right? How are you dealing with it?
Absolutely. And yes, there's both hormones and there's all these new situations that they're having to cope with that they've never coped with before.
Study stress.
Oh, so much stress around academic achievement and around
relationship stress, all that stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So all of that is going on. And so one of the best things that we can do as parents is to not engage with them in ramping up that level of stress. So if we
tempting can remain, as it is at times.
Oh, as tempting as it is. Yeah. As tempting as it is. But we've got a choice because we are the adult. We've actually gone through that phase of development and we've got the experience. So we can actually choose to be the grown up in the room. So when they're experiencing huge emotional distress, the challenge for us is to keep our calm, to be able to stay as, again, that safe base that they can use to test out their emotions on.
So instead of ramping up and don't you talk to me like that and go to your room and you're not going out, whatever, sometimes it's just actually holding your tongue and just letting them get it off their chest and letting them calm.
Absolutely.
And then you can have a conversation about how that went.
And even validating what they're feeling.
Mm.
So if we think about they might be stressed about a friend interaction. As an adult, you're sitting there thinking, this is so small. This is going to be gone by tomorrow. But for them, it's huge. So if they say, I'm so cross with my friend, she did this and it's just making me furious, you can say, rather than, oh, don't be silly, that, you know, it's not that big a deal, you can say, sounds like you feel really cross with your friend. And from that, they've been heard. And when they've been heard, they recognise that their emotions are real. And when their emotions are real, they can learn to trust themselves. And that's what we want. As they become adults, that they become people that trust what they feel in themselves and know that their emotions are real.
And can recognise it and can express it.
Absolutely.
The other thing is this is not linear any more than any other stage of development.
No.
They can revert to being quite childlike. And what do you do when that happens? Do you welcome that? Do you embrace that rather than saying, you're behaving like you're eight or something?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So they are going through so many transitions in terms of the physical, the hormonal, the social, and they will at times behave like toddlers again. And that's just part and parcel of the course. That what that means in that moment is that they've come across a situation that is beyond their coping skills at this moment in time. So just accepting it as par for the course, again, not rising up to the emotion that they're feeling, being able to stay calm and letting them ride that out, because they're building skills. Each time they come across a challenge that they can't face, they learn how to deal with it, they're developing their emotion regulation skills.
Think of ourselves as one great big kind of cushion, really, at this time, eh? Absorbing the stress and releasing it rather than bouncing it straight back.
Yeah.
Let's talk about anxiety. Really pervasive among young people, probably always has been, but we're going through generational generations where it can mount to be something quite concerning. What does the research tell us about what's going on?
So anxiety is increasing, and I think in the last decade it's been about a doubling of anxiety among that sort of 15 to 24 age group. So around between 1 in 5, 1 in 4 young people are likely to experience quite extreme anxiety. But that said, we need to remember that anxiety per se is just a regular emotion, right? Emotions are really, really important for our well-being, for our survival, for our communication to ourselves and to others. So we have to be careful when we talk about anxiety not to vilify it, to say it's a bad thing in total. It's really important that we've got that sense that there is something coming up that I need to think about and I need to wonder, what if?
And I need to prepare for,
yeah. Mm. So anxiety per se is not a problem. It's a useful emotion. Imagine if you didn't feel anxiety when you were crossing the road and you had to decide whether you were going to look to see if there was traffic. If you had no anxiety and wandered out, not a safe situation to be in, yeah? As a parent, if you've got small children, there's that thing when you hear noise in another room and then suddenly there's silence. And like that's a moment when a little bit of parental anxiety is really important, because you can react to that and go and check if everything's fine. They may be playing just fine, but they may be doing something that's, yeah.
So what's, normal's not the right word. Just listening to what you're saying to, if the anxiety is matched to the event or matched to what's happening, fine.
No problem. Right?
And some will always be a little more, you know, kind of demonstrative, and others actually will be quietly anxious, right? So when are you looking for something that feels outsized or something that is beginning to impact on your young person?
Yeah. So anxiety per se is fine. And even some quite big anxiety can be appropriate in certain circumstances. But the problem is when anxiety goes from being a what-if guess about a certain situation that's realistic to a spiral. And so, for example, if we think about our young people in school, they might be focused on getting a particularly good grade in class. So they might be having a little bit of anxiety about a test or an exam, and that's quite normal. Yeah, a little bit of anxiety gets our body kind of ready for action and primed and focused. But the problem is if that then goes from, how am I going to do in this test, to, if I don't pass this test, I might fail NCA level 3. If I fail NCA level 3, I won't get into the course I want at university. If I don't get into the course I want at university, I won't be able to follow the career of my dreams. If I can't follow the career of my dreams, I'll probably be in a boring job or possibly unemployed and maybe living under a bridge, right? So that's when anxiety becomes a problem, when the what-if guess becomes a spiral.
Not only does it become a spiral, but it actually inhibits you from doing the simple thing you needed to do at the outset,
Absolutely. Which
is get ready for your test. It overwhelms.
That's right. So we engage in activities to try and keep ourselves safe in that moment. And one of those activities could be avoiding studying for the test, right? So we've got to be really careful to look for those behaviours that anxiety drives to keep us safe in the short term, but actually that don't serve us well in the long term.
How do you talk to your young person about this?
About?
If they're experiencing this, how do you talk to them?
You, again, what I said before about validating, so it sounds like you feel really anxious about this test or this party that you're about to go to. So you provide that space to listen and
but a strategy, break some things down perhaps?
In terms of actually a study situation?
Yeah.
Totally, yeah. So let's problem solve this together. So problem solving and leaving the problem with the child as much as possible. Say, hey, so what thoughts? It looks like this is stressing you out.
Yeah.
What could we do here? Is there a way I can help as a parent? Or what thoughts have you got about how we could approach this differently? So when we leave the problem solving with the young person, they're building those skills that they need to live in the world.
It might be a strategy for going to a party. How are you going to get there? What time are you going to get ready? What are you going to take? Have you got a friend going? Safe place to sort of start a conversation? Or, you know, that kind of stuff as well. Again, they do the strategizing, but you can work it through with them.
Yeah.
What is the link between anxiety and perfectionism?
So perfectionism is a personality trait that we can have naturally and that can be fostered in us depending on the environment that we're in. And the link between anxiety and perfectionism is that perfectionism can be one of those coping strategies that we use to manage anxiety. So if we're really worried about achievement, for example, perfectionism can leap in and get us hyper-focused and behaving in certain ways to try and improve our performance and feel okay about ourselves. So they kind of go hand in hand with perfectionism being kind of like a coping strategy for anxiety.
What are the downsides of it, however, if it's not okay?
So again, a little bit like anxiety, perfectionism per se is not a bad thing, right? So healthy perfectionism is striving for high standards. It's
persevering with tasks,
absolutely.
Doing your best, all these things.
Yeah, working for mastery rather than trying to make things just so. If we make a mistake, it doesn't. We use that as a learning opportunity to try and work out how we might do things differently next time. And we get joy out of achievement. The problem is when perfectionism becomes that real coping strategy and we're starting to try and perform in a certain way that is beyond expectations, beyond possible. And then when we don't hit that target, or if we do hit that target, we're still disappointed. And we move the target up again. So the target gets harder and harder to reach. And rather than getting joy out of achieving it, we start to feel more fear about not achieving than getting actual pleasure out of the achievement itself. And it takes chunks off our self-esteem.
What are your tips for parents then dealing with perfectionism where at the level where it's becoming unhealthy?
Yeah, so where it's becoming unhealthy. I think one of the first things to do is do a little bit of a check for yourself about your own thoughts about perfectionism and your own thoughts about your children's achievement, and making sure that you're getting joy when they get joy, and that your self-esteem is not riding on them doing well. And back to that thing I said right at the start, that the most important thing you provide is a safe home, and letting them know that your love for them is not dependent on their performance.
It's a delicate line to work, isn't it?
Yeah.
A, managing your own perfectionism, right?
Mm-hmm.
But B, wanting them to responsibly do their best and encouraging them to look to do their best on a task without feeding the fact that this is necessary for you to be okay, or for
yes.
me to, you know, for me to respect you or to love you or to whatever. How do you give that reassurance then all the time that it's okay to not overdo things, but equally, you should put effort in? I mean,
yeah.
it's a complex messaging, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. I remember as a child, because, you know, I admit to being a healthy perfectionist myself, I would come home from school and say, "Mum, I got an A." And she would say, "That's lovely, darling. But I'd love you just as much if you got a D." And at the time, I was like, "But don't you love my A?"
Mm.
And she's like, "No, I love you. And if you got a D, I'd just love you. I'd love you just as much."
Mm.
So, yes, as parents, we can. It's really important to reward the effort that young
That's
people
the
put in.
Yeah.
So you, I saw you work really hard in preparation for that.
Not the outcome.
Not
the result.
The outcome, because the outcome is so often outside our control.
Well, same again. If you perform brilliantly in your ballet, or even if you don't, you know, I saw this about you. Saw you achieve this, and I know you've been working on that. Not you came second or third or got a highly commended. Okay.
Yeah.
That space to develop in a rounded way, that's another thing, especially if you've got a young athlete or a young dancer and they get very focused on one thing. You want to encourage them, some breadth in their experience.
Yeah, yeah. So if we think about that job the teenager's got to do, the adolescent's got to do, they've got to develop their identity, social connection, they've got to ensure that they can regulate themselves emotionally. If they focus in too much on one thing, like the academics or like their performance in a dance, you know, a dance setting or in a sports setting, then it risks their identity getting too focused in on one thing, and they've kind of got all their eggs in one basket. So if something goes wrong in that area, then the whole world falls apart.
But also, you might be great at this, but pretty average at that other team sport you're in. You're playing it for fun. It gives
yeah.
them a sense of the different ways you should be enjoying an activity.
Yeah.
The mistakes thing is important, and again, at some point as a parent, frustrating as it is, you've got to stop doing the micromanaging. If that so-and-so forgets this or forgets that or doesn't have this or is stuck at a bus stop somewhere, that's on them.
And it's going to be the best learning that they have.
Mm.
The moment when they're stuck at the bus stop without their snapper card because they left it at home on the bench.
They're walking home.
They're going to learn because they're walking home. And those experiences, those natural consequences are
okay.
the best
If it's
form
3
of
hours, you might go and get them, but you'll rub it in.
Yeah.
Modelling imperfection, this is another one. You know, some people really struggle to admit they make mistakes.
Yeah.
I am not one of those people because it's just so damn obvious. Why bother? But, you know, for some people it's hard to do,
mm-hmm.
but you need to model making mistakes and being okay with it.
Absolutely. And so while we can do that, while I said, you know, you need to be really careful to make sure that your children know that you love them, even if they make mistakes, they learn from seeing, not just what you say. And so if they see you being okay making mistakes, then they will learn it's okay for them to make mistakes too. So you can come home and say, you know, I had a meeting today at work and I did not handle that the way I thought I should have. But you know what I'm going to do is tomorrow I'm going to go in and I'm going to do this. And so they see you being okay with that, that you can be okay in yourself, that it doesn't damage your self-worth when you make a mistake.
Being alert and being hypervigilant are different things.
Yeah.
And that's again, you've got to check yourself sometimes on what you are projecting as much as anything else. You can worry as much as you like, but what you project and how you react, you need to manage as a parent.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So this battle we've got between boundaries and letting children explore and, you know, we have to be really careful how we respond to that, and making sure that we do notice when there are changes happening for them that might be significant and might suggest that something serious is going on. But at the same time, we need to acknowledge that that kind of bouncing around they do with emotions and the flying off the handle and getting irritated at things, that's normal as well. So it's a really, really delicate line of being able to open communication with your child when you think there's something that really is not right, and being able to talk about it, but at the same time not being, you know.
Maybe calming yourself first before that conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Polly Chevron, clinical psychologist.